Jeremiah 29, verse 11, you look to the screen or you can turn to it. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you." See, God has plans for me. Say, God has big plans for me. Look to your neighbor and say, God has big plans for you. You know, most Christians don't believe that God has a big plan for them. Most people, the subconscious thing for our world is to begin to think, well, God will have a big plan for somebody that's made me famous or successful. But for me, he maybe has overlooked. And I'm here to tell you that God has not overlooked anyone. Jesus was very specific, and he talked about how good his heavenly Father was. And he would say stuff that if a sparrow falls from a tree, if a baby bird falls from a tree, it doesn't go unnoticed, which means the Father sees it. Now, that's pretty intense when you think about that. For several reasons. One, because there's a lot of birds. Secondly, because we would think, what's the big deal? Some of you are hunters and you are whacking and stacking. You don't think much about that animal. But for Jesus, that a little bird falling out of his nest gets the attention of God. Which tells me that the very details that most people think are overlookable, which means that no one pays attention, it's not that important. God says, it might not be important to you, but it's a very important to me. Stay with me. So we have to realize that the Heavenly Father, if he notices the small details, the insignificant, if you will, the insignificant moments of life and nature, how much more does he notice you? And that's what Jesus' point was. Because after he said that, he goes, if he notices a sparrow, how much more does he watch you? Some of you are freaking out, go, OMG, did he see what I did yesterday? Yes, he did. And if it was sin, you need to repent, 1 John 1:9. But he still loves you, John 3:16. And he loves you so much that you are in his view. Have you ever walked by and someone didn't notice you? Have you ever had something near of value and you didn't realize it was near at all? But to God, you are so important. He has this focus on you. So much that he's just not watching to observe, to judge. He's watching to cheer you on. You know, God's in your corner. Let me say that again. Jesus is in your corner. Can I get a better amen than that? All right. Thank you. Jesus is in your corner. And he has big plans for you. Just the other day, I'll share a story. My wife had, was telling me the other day, she's like, okay, middle of the night, somehow my wedding ring fell off. I don't know where it's at. And I said, okay, I'll go, where do you think it's at? So I went and looked in the room, trying to find that wedding ring. I mean, when you spend your money on something, you want to make sure it stays around. Change the ballgame all over. So I'm looking for that, and I found the ring. But I didn't tell her I found the ring. She was in the TV room, sitting on the couch watching TV. So what I did is I put her wedding ring, which has diamonds on it, and I put it on my finger, and it fit my pinky ring. I made it a pinky ring. I don't know if those even go around today, but for that day, it did. And so I slipped it on my hand, and I didn't say anything, and I walked in. I'm like, where else do you think it might be? So I played the story. And she goes, I don't know. She goes, maybe on the couch? And so we're looking around, and she's looking. So I got real close. I said, I wonder where it's at. She goes, I don't know. I said, maybe it's under the couch. So I got down on one knee, and I put my hand on her knee. I said, let me just balance myself. And I'm looking under. She goes, you see it? I said, don't see it anywhere. And I said, and she had her phone out. And I said, let me borrow your phone. I need to turn the light on so I can see under the couch. And I picked the phone. Now, stay with me. The ring is on my finger. And I grabbed her phone. I said, can I borrow your phone? And I had my finger right in front of the screen. Can I use this so I get? Sure, you can. And I'm looking under the, with again, and she doesn't see it. And so after a few minutes, I'm sitting next to her watching TV. And she's like, oh, I sure hope we can find this ring. And I'm like, I do too. And I said, there's some value to that. I mean, Lord Terry's, you know, I mean, and down the road, I'd like to pass that on to Logan. And so I'm playing this up. And I said, and if, God forbid, you go before me and she's not ready to get married, I might want to make a pinky ring out of it. I am playing this all. And I said, wouldn't it look good on this hand? And she's like, no. And I said, yeah, that one already has a ring. Maybe it would look good on this hand. And she's like, I don't know. And then she went, I know I'm mean. Just pray for me. But the human nature for all of us is that if we don't look for what is of value, it could be right next to us and we don't see what's in value that's right in front of us. Now pray for me, because I just told a story and she didn't know and she's giving me the look right now. I can feel it. Come on. And all the husbands said, amen. But that's the thing for all of us. If we don't look for the value, we don't see the value. It can be right in front of us. And God could be trying to show you, I'm here with you. I have some great plans for you. I'm doing something good in your life. I want you to see the potential, the possibility, the power that's available to you. And that was one of Paul's prayers to the church, was it not? That your eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know. Yes. What is the hope of his calling? Amen. The exceeding greatness of his power to those who believe. Right? There's some things that we don't always see, though it's of great value and it could be right near. And many times we need to pray, Lord, open my eyes. One of the things different ways the Lord leads me, one of the things that's been for the last couple months is the word clarity. Lord, give me clarity. Because I don't want to see and think I'm seeing and only miss what I should be seeing. How many Sadducees? How many Pharisees? How many people looked at Jesus and their eyes were open, but Jesus said, you do not have vision. Right. Eyes that do not see, ears that do not hear, and hearts that do not understand. Right. Because of their perception of what's in front of them, they think they know what they're seeing, but they're not looking. Right. They're not looking. They're not looking. God has big plans for you. Amen. This is not even in my notes, but I feel this on my heart. I want to challenge you as we move into 2021, that's going to get old, I'm just saying right now. As we move into 21, let's just not go in with the expectation of where we've been or what are we going to try to decide to do or make plans. Let's go in looking with an expectation of the value, because some of us, we go and making plans, and we make plans based on where we think we can achieve, and we'll set levels, and we'll look down low, and 2021, I believe that year is going to be maybe okay, or maybe, what if God's raised it beyond your expectation? And begins to say, if you begin to look at the value of what I want to do in your life, if you can only see what's nearby, if you can only know that within your grasp is something greater that you maybe thought you have lost in the past or never could get in the future. That's the stories of two individuals that I want to look at today. One was Paul. Paul had done so many things right according to the religious. The Bible tells us that. In fact, Paul says that if anybody can brag on what they've achieved in the law, I am the one that's to brag the most. According to the law, he said, I'm blameless. According to the law, I'm blameless. Blameless, which means I've done everything right. But if you look at that in Ephesians, he says, but one thing I haven't attained. Let's dig a little deeper. Because I believe Paul was very specific. I believe in that text, and you can disagree with that, that Paul was striving for something that was so great that he had yet to achieve. It wasn't trying to be perfect. Some of you are striving to be perfect. Every year, starting in January, we strive to be perfect. We'll go to the gym every day, then every other day, then two times a week's not too bad. Then once a week, hey, I drove by it yesterday. It's been closed for 6 months and you didn't know it. We strive for personal perfection, and I'm not saying don't exercise. The point being, Paul was like, hey, I've learned to be what appeared to be perfect, but I considered it done compared to what I win with Christ. Right. But there was still something he was striving for. And if you look in Ephesians, you'll find out in chapter 3, again, challenge everything I said. He says one thing he's trying to attain is the resurrection of the dead. I believe that Paul's goal was to become the next Enoch. Because he knew of Enoch who had walked with God. And then the Bible says was not. Enoch had come to a place with God that he was so close to eternity that he decided to move from this dimension to that dimension. Yes. We don't know of anybody else who's done it. But I think Paul, if you look at his accolades, he was an extremist. He was zealous. He was like, hey, if anybody's going to go for it, I'm going for it. He was blameless in the law. He persecuted the church. Why? Because he thought that was what needed to be done. He was that zealous for God, but had a wrong revelation. And when he got turned around, he began to say, wait a minute, I've got my eyes on Jesus now. And it's not about the law, it's about him. And I believe he was trying to get to a place in his walk with God that he could move on into eternity. Because he referenced, he said, but yet I've not attained it. Let's look at that verse. Philippians 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Then he goes on to say, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to draw three things out of this quickly. Number one, he said, I'm reaching for something that I have not attained yet, but it's attained me. I am moving towards something. And in the process, one of the things I've learned in my journey to do is I've learned to let go of the past. The word here is forgetting the past. Human nature is you can't forget the extremities of life. That's just a reality. Most of us can't remember a lot of our, they tell us it's in our brain somewhere. In fact, they say that when they're working on the brain in surgery, that they could touch certain parts of your brain and it recalls responses from you, from your past experience. Everything that you've ever learned, seen, heard, or experienced is in there. But we don't remember it. It'd be nice if we remembered it. We'd all have 3 PhDs. If you could instantly recall everything. But have you noticed that one of the things that we do recall, that we remember with clarity, as if you're many times living through it again, is the highs and the lows. The great things that's happened to you and the horrible things that's happened to you. And Paul's saying the great achievements, the highs, the accomplishments, and the great horrible things, I've learned to let them go. Now, he's not saying you can't remember them, but if you dig into the original text, it's actually saying, I don't use those to define my future.
Yes.
I don't use, because either extreme can misguide you into your future.
Right.
How many people have you seen because of the past experience, maybe the pain, that when they approach the opportunities that God's given you, something of great value, something of great importance. It might be a relationship. It might be a business opportunity. It might be a friendship. It might be, hey, this is the first time you've been in church in years. Why? Because the last church did you wrong. And if you're not careful, the last church or the last Christian that stabbed you in the back and you think, I'll never be friends with another Christian, what happens? The past is now dictating your future. And the devil will be the first one to remind you of when you go to take a step of why you shouldn't step when you're obeying God. Because he'll remind you, don't you remember when you tried that one business? Yeah, but you were 11 and lemonade wasn't good in the winter. Come on, let it go. Sometimes our failures will hold us back. Sometimes our successes will reroute us. And we'll jump too fast or too soon, not in the confidence of God, but in the confidence of ourselves. David had that happen one day, and he was an army was coming toward him, and he began to seek God. What do I need to do? And God told him, go ahead and pursue them. I'll give you victory. And he went after him, and he had victory. Later, after the battle, the same army regrouped, regathered, but now they had learned how David had fought. And so they came at him differently, but came at him again. And David was working off the aroma, if you will, of his past victory in that area. And he basically got his army together and went after him. This Greg Bruce translation, you can get it out of any translation you want, challenge it. And he went after the same army, but this time he lost. And he pursued God and said, God, what happened? And God said, basically, I didn't tell you to go the second time. See, sometimes the aroma of our past successes will get us so confident in our own abilities that we'll take God out of the equation. Okay, God, thank you. I'll come to you when I need you. How many Christians have you heard do that? I'll go to church. I'll pray. I'll read my Bible when I'm in a great crisis. And if I don't need you, I'll just put you back on the shelf. There's no relationship. They approach God for the extremities. And when they think they can do it on their own, they leave God out of the equation. And instead of approaching God the second time, David just went because it looks like the same battle. He told me to go before. He gave me victory before. And instead of pursuing God and finding and having confidence in what God leads us to do, he was having confidence in what God had led him to do in the past. And this time, I don't need anything from God. I still have the old word of what he told me before. And the danger with an old word, and don't misunderstand me, the revelation God gives you, they're like bricks in the wall of your house. You need to keep them in your wall, okay? But you need to stick with the rhythm of following him.
Right.
Manna that was given was only good for the day. That doesn't mean you have to rethink, okay, do I commit adultery or not? No, you got that brick in the wall, hopefully. Do I help my neighbor or not? You got that. But learning to obey God and not allowing the past failures or past successes to refine the direction of your destiny. What if God wanted to do it differently? What if God wanted to do it in a greater way? I remember many years ago, I was walking through the office at the other location, and I wasn't praying. I was just my routine, and the Spirit of God spoke to me clearly. Now, this doesn't happen every day, and we teach around here, God can speak to you almost like someone talking to you, but don't look for voices. Look for understanding from the Word of God.
Amen.
If your priority is the understanding from the Word of God, there'll be times in your life the Lord will speak to you on very pivotal situations and moments.
Yes.
But if you go looking for voices, the devil's going to bring confusion in your life. But I was walking through, and it's always got to be lined up with the Word of God. And I was walking through the office one day, and as I was turning around the corner, I heard the Spirit of God speak to me clearly, and he said, there's a moment of nothing before the everything. Can you stand in the silence without jumping too soon?
Yeah.
I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I need to write that down. There's a moment of nothing before the everything. Can you stand in the silence without jumping too soon? How many times do we get confidence in our past and we begin to jump too soon on things based on what we think is the probability of our success and not the promise from our God? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Begin to stretch. When you're reaching for something, you're moving beyond where you're at. You're moving towards where you want to go, and you're stretching. That's growth.
Yeah. That's right.
The danger, the enemy of stretching is comfort.
Come on.
You sit in your comfortable chair and say, can you hand me the remote? It's right there. I know I can't reach it. Because we're so comfortable, we don't want to move. We should almost live with a little bit of comfortable with an uncomfortable position and state in our life that we're still hungry.
Yeah.
We're still hungry to see people get saved. We're still hungry to see God move. We're still hungry to walk with God. And that was Paul's thing is, hey, I am striving for something that on this side I haven't yet attained it, and I might not attain it. That we should be hungry for things. When we get comfortable with, okay, God, I've seen you do a lot. I'm comfortable with that. Now I'll just keep returning, redoing, relearning what I've learned before and not being open for God to cause us to do something. Maybe he wants you to do it a little differently. The prophet told the widow woman who was in debt, and they were about to take her sons, and they were about to take her sons because of the debt her husband had incurred. And what was the instruction from heaven? The instruction from the prophet of God, which was at that time in the old covenant, the voice from heaven, God speaking to people. Back then, they couldn't hear God. They didn't have revelation from the Holy Spirit, from the written word of God. It wasn't until the New Testament we find out that the Holy Spirit can now come in us, and we can have the Holy Spirit speak and reveal the word of God, that the Bible says that you have the anointing from the Holy One and you don't need anybody to teach you. That doesn't mean you don't need teachers. That means that when people are speaking, the teaching you get is not just hearing what they say, but the revelation from the Spirit of God and the anointing of God who reveals it to you personally. And what was the instruction from heaven to a woman who's in so much debt they are about to take her sons? Heaven said, go borrow. Yeah. That makes no sense to the natural mind. Every CFO, every financial planner would say, that's the last thing you want to do. We need to minimize. We need to reconsolidate. Let's see if we can get a loan, a bridge loan. Let's see if we can get something with lower interest. Let's see if we can work this out in maybe 120 payments. We got it. There's a plan. We need a plan. But God said, listen, what I want you to do. Why? Because God was giving her an opportunity to trust him in a way that did not make sense with the natural mind, but was the door opening to bring her provision to not only meet the need, but the Bible says that brought provision to her for years to come. For the prophet then told her after she came back and said, now what do I do? And he said, go sell the oil, pay off your debt, and catch this, live on the rest. Stay with me. The prophet didn't say, pay the part of the debt and just be glad you got some of it done. Sell the oil and make a down payment, and we'll try something next month. No, the miracle brought debt cancellation. Stay with me. But it didn't stop. All she wanted was, help me save my sons. I got a big debt. All she was praying for was the debt. All she could see was the debt. All was the biggest prison to her was the debt. And God said, if you do what I ask you, it doesn't always make sense, but it opens the door for me to do what you don't even understand is possible. I'm not only going to get you out of debt, I'm not only going to bring your sons into the equation, I'm going to provide for you for the rest of your life. She wasn't looking for a revenue stream that would provide a security blanket, a retirement account for. No, she was just looking, how do I save my sons? And because she was approaching God with the need of somebody else, he said, here's what I want you to do. And it made no natural sense to the natural financial mind. You don't go into more debt when they're trying to take you and they're foreclosing on you. Right. What bank would loan you money when you've just had your house foreclosed? Think how persuasive they had to be. You just don't go in that casually to your neighbors. Hey, what's going on? They're about to take my kids. Why? You know that big debt my husband left. I can't believe it. And actually, history will tell us, and many theologians believe, the reason they were in debt is he was borrowing money to feed the prophets. My husband put us in so much debt to help other people, that's not even us, and now we're having to pay the price of it. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, people love to hear sad stories. And he said, how can I help you? Ooh, glad you asked. Can I borrow? Now, listen, the last person you want to loan to is someone that they're waiting to collect everything they have. Because they're taking all their assets, which means all their possessions and their kids. And so the moment you borrow it, how would they know that it's not theirs and take your stuff too? You have to be pretty influential, pretty passionate about the request to convince people to loan you something. You don't get passionate just because you want to work it up and hype it up. It comes out of a revelation that God has showed you what to do. And you begin to boldly move. Joshua 1 becomes strong and courageous because the words become alive. She stretched, she moved out of her comfort zone. I pray that in 21 that you'll begin to stretch and see more growth than 21 that you've ever seen in your whole life. Amen. That you'll begin to take over and conquer areas that you never thought was possible. Where do you get that in the Bible, Pastor? Well, look at Hebrews 11, verse 33 says, by faith they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises, and they shut the mouth of lions. Oh, that verse has been stirring in me for about 6 weeks now. They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, King James says. They obtained promises, and they shut the mouth of lions. I got to say that one more time. The Bible says, by faith, through faith, they subdued kingdoms. That's rulers and authority. That means I don't care what political position, I don't know what kind of power position, all of a sudden, by faith, they were able to subdue, bring under authority the things of the kingdom of the world to bring under the kingdom of God. They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, which means they brought the order of God. They brought the right path into it. They obtained the promises, which means they just didn't look at it, see it, celebrate, sing it. They obtained it. They received what God had promised. Amen. And they shut the mouth of lions. Those are enemies that the devil will use to consume because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the Bible says that the devil roams around like a lion. But I'm telling you, you are of the tribe of Judah. You are the lion because Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the genetic makeup of the lion of the tribe of Judah. For the righteous are bold as a lion. And Proverbs says, does not turn away from anyone. So when the enemy, if he tries to show up to consume, you can shut his mouth in the name of Jesus. If they try to rise up and you can take the authority that God's given you. Subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtain the promises, and shut the mouth of lions. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. What's something behind me, something before me, I'm reaching toward the future. And I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. Some of us are pulling the weight of the past. He said, don't carry the past. The Bible actually tells us in Hebrews to lay aside the weight and sin that so easily besets us and run the race set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him. What God, the mark that God sets before you. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I just don't have a purpose. I don't have an assignment. I don't have anything I'm striving for. Don't try to create it. Don't use your imagination. Go to him. Because he'll bring it before you. Run the race set before you. Don't have to run anybody else's race. You don't have to mimic anybody else. You don't have to talk like anybody else. You be you. You find your race. You find your journey that God gives you from the Word of God. Let him reveal it to you. Run the race set before you. He'll bring it before you, just like he did Jesus for the joy that was brought before him. Amen. He endured the situation. Why? Because he wasn't only looking at the situation. 2020 was not the year that nobody planned. Listen, I'll be real. I guarantee you, across the country, across the world, every pastor probably got on the platform at the beginning of 2020 and talked about vision and clarity, and most of us missed that one. Why? Because we are working on the natural perspective and not a spiritual perspective on that moment. It should have been a wake-up call that what looks one way in the natural doesn't mean it's going to happen that way. We need to look and say, all right, God, I'm not going to just define my future by what I see it and the natural by what makes sense. I'm going to define my future by what you show me. Lead and guide me. And as a church, you know, I mean, I'm thankful that we decided at the very beginning in March, when all this started going down, we thought, you know, a lot of churches are closing down. First of all, we don't want to close down. Number two, not only do I want to stay open, but I want to do more than what we did before. Amen. I mean, if I'm going to fight the devil, I'm not only going to do it in prayer, I'm going to do it in action. Church, too many Christians are just trying to do it on one side, and we need to praise and worship God. And that's like that song, "This is How I Fight My Battle." The praise and worship brings the presence of God, but then he still sends you to do something, for James says faith without works doesn't produce change. Don't let prayer and praise and worship be in your mind a cop-out keeping you from the battlefield. Right. I'm not saying you have to fight like you fought before, but that there's times that you have to, every time you need to obey God, but there's times he'll send you out in the middle of the battlefield. There's times that he'll send you to release a rock. There's sometimes he'll send you wherever it might be. And a lot of times people, I'll just pray about it. And it's literally a cop-out from their obedience of what God's showing them. Well, I need God to bless me. I'm just going to pray about it. Well, what does he tell you to do? Because prayer is to position you to connect with God and find direction from God and be empowered by God to do what God's showing you to do.
Right.
I got quiet with some. I press toward the mark. I press toward what God is revealing to me. I press toward the opportunities that God is showing me. I stretch. That's an act of faith, an act of trust. And so we decided, hey, we just don't want to stay open. Why do we fight to stay where we're at? I'm asking you that. When the devil attacks, why make plans just to keep what you have? Think about that. If the doctor gave you a bad report, why do you fight to go back to being healthy? When your job is threatened or your career is challenged or the economy changes, why do you fight to go back to the good old days of where you've been? What if you begin to look at the situation differently and say, well, if I'm going to fight, because in any battle there's plunder, if I'm going to fight, then I'm not going to believe that I can go back to where I was. I'm believing that I can go back and be better than I was. If you're a business owner, don't try to figure out how to keep your doors open. Try to figure out how to have it the best financial year you've ever had.
Yes.
Don't pray, Lord, help me make budget. I know this is a rough year and a lot of people aren't doing business and Lord, and most people are closed. Lord, help us just to keep the doors open. Don't pray you survive. Say, Lord, I'm going to pray for a 50% increase of my sales. Yes. And the natural mind will say, that's crazy, but if God's doing it and he's directing you to do it, then God has an opportunity to do something that only God can do.
Right.
We decided if everybody's shutting down and they're going to pressure us to shut down, not only are we going to stay open, that would be the status where we were before, but we decided let's do more than we were before. Let's look for ideas, and that out of that came the mobile market. Out of that, you know what I mean? And that's been an incredible outreach where people pull up on Saturdays and open their trunks, and we've given out 100,000 pounds in one day. Comparative to the year before where we gave out, I think it was 50,000 pounds through the food pantry in one year. I don't know the exact number, but I guarantee we've given out over 1 million pounds of food. But we didn't stop there. We thought, if this is working, man, God is blessing us. And the people that told us before they wouldn't be our source, all of a sudden they're calling us, do you want more food? Sure. I got a truckload. I don't know where to take it. Would you like it? Yes.
Yes,
my sister Shauna's over there and get the phone calls. And we had to kind of at one point say, are certain things you can say no to? Because she would say yes, and we would get all this food. Quick story. One day they said, I got a bunch of ice cream. Do you want it? And she's like, sure. And we had like, we had 12, there are these cartons of ice cream. We had like 12 pallets, I think it was, of ice cream in the hallway. You know what happens to ice cream that's frozen, right? In fact, we, out of curiosity, we thought, okay, went online and found out what would it cost if you bought one of those at the store, and then we counted how many we had in each pallet, and we did the multiplication, and we had sitting in our hallway, melting by the second, $176,000 worth of ice cream. So what do? We called everybody. You want some ice cream? Oh, I'll take one. Take one. You're taking two cases. Eat it. Hand it out. I don't care. Just take it. Otherwise, we're going to have another flood in the church, and we don't want that to be dairy. But all of a sudden, it just started coming in. We get calls from all kinds of companies. It's just not one supplier. We have a whole list of suppliers. They're calling us. Why? Because everybody shut down. And when everybody shut down, they have all this food. They don't know where to take it to. And we'll take it. Look how God works. We had called them before. They said, sorry, we already have enough distribution places. We can't take any more. Now they want us. Now we're their number one because we say yes. And we have food coming everywhere, going in and out, in and out, in and out. It is fun and crazy. About the number of people. It is to the extreme that when this flood happened, the fire department came to check it out and get the water turned off. And the chief fire marshal came over and said, are you the pastor? I said, yeah. And he goes, I want you to know. I don't know anything about this guy if he goes to church anywhere. He said, I want you to know, we are so glad you're in our community. He goes, we hear all the time of the things that you are doing to help your community. And you guys have been nothing but an amazing and important impact in this community. He goes, please keep doing what you're doing. Isn't that nice? So we decided, wow, look at God work. And folks, there's so many stories I can't share, but it was like all of a sudden there's this flow of the windows of heaven coming, and it would be the weirdest thing. We would get to where we're like, okay, God, this is kind of odd. Why are we getting this besides food? And God would bring and make the connection. Somebody would say, man, I need a rug for this project. And all of a sudden, 2 days later, a rug show up. There was just a flow. I knew I should have asked for a Ferrari. Jesus. I'm joking. Just joking. Oh, lighten up. Some of you are just way out of touch. And so we were like, hey, we can't stop there because there's people that can't come. So you know the story, many of you. So we started what we call our satellite mobile markets. And we have teams of people. We're always developing and always growing because I believe in keep reaching, keep reaching. Don't stay comfortable. We can stay comfortable at any phase. But if you want to go, we got to keep reaching. We've got to keep trying new territory. And we decide, let's take teams and send teams out with food. So we got people to come and pick up food. We got people to organize food. We got people to receive food. We got people. I mean, things are happening every day. I love the activity. Volunteers are everywhere working, volunteering their time, getting things ready. Now we got teams of people to pick up food and take it to different areas that couldn't get to us, that are hungry and have families. And we thought, this is working great. And then we get another phone call, and the guy said, hey, listen, I got this program. Would you guys like to do it? We'll provide all the food, 7 lunches, breakfasts, and dinners, and snacks, and we'll give it to you. You could just tell us how many you want. We're like, great. How much can you handle? And he says, well, what can you do? I said, well, what if we want to do 1,000 kids? Oh, we could do that. What if I do 5,000 kids? Oh, we could do that. What if we do 10,000? He goes, wow, well, man, we'll see and we'll figure it out. I said, okay, I just want to find out where his faith at, where's my faith at, and where his impossible, because I don't want to do it like everybody else does it. So I'm believing that we can feed one day 10,000 kids 7 days a week. It just keeps growing. It just keeps exploding. Why? Because we didn't decide that we're going to try to keep it safe. We decided we're not going to try to stay safe. We're not trying to stay where we are at. We are like, if the devil is trying to rise up against our city, our state, our country, our world, humanity, whatever you want to call it, but if he's trying to mess with us, there's something within us that's just saying, not on my watch, not in my neighborhood, not around me. And we begin to rise up and say, God, how can we make a difference? How can we make a difference? How can we make a difference? We don't want to play it safe. Listen, if you're wanting to play it safe, this is not the place to hang out, because you're eventually going to rub off on you. Then you start thinking, man, it's kind of exciting to see God do stuff that I've never seen him do before. Church is just not about showing up on Sunday and singing the songs and dropping an offering and hearing a message and feeling good about the moment and getting back to my routine. Hey, I can partner with God and with other Christians and make a difference in my world and in my neighborhood and see God do stuff that is not wearing me out and exhausting me, but seeing the hand of God and the strength of God. Because folks, when you do it on your own strength, you will exhaust yourself. But when you do it because God leads you, he brings a grace to you. So I tell people, if God didn't call you to be a pastor, don't be a pastor.
Right.
Don't be an evangelist. Don't go in full-time ministry if God didn't call you.
Right.
Or if God didn't say now's the time. Because you know what happens? You will be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's a business owner. doesn't matter, because there's challenges in every phase, but when you are walking with God, He brings the grace and the strength in the journey. And you can walk and say, Lord, you called me here, so I'm seeing a wall, but you are my Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider before the problem. And so you just got to show me what to do. And Lord, I'm just, my rest is in you.
Yes.
My trust is in you.
Amen.
That you're going to show me, and I'll have victory.
Amen.
Let's not play it safe in 21.
Right.
Let's stay sensitive, because when God brings those things of value, it could be an opportunity, could be an idea. Let's have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that are receptive, so that we can step right in and say, Lord, I recognize this is you. Show me what to do. And see God bring increase. That's the God you serve. John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that you know for yourself that He's real and your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer this. I'm not into the rules, although there's rules that we do follow. I'm into the real relationship. We don't do stuff to get to God. We do stuff because of God in our life.
Yeah.
It's a real relationship. You can be around Him and not realize who He is and have accepted Him. But today is your day. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you do not have a real relationship with Jesus, or if you allowed stuff to come between you and God and your heart's not right for whatever reason, this is your moment. You don't need to live under that cloud, that weight, that guilt. Sin will devalue you. Sin will destroy your self-image. Sin will cause you to live way below what God has for you. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. Let's pray this prayer together. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Amen, church. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you prayed that prayer, let us know. There's a place on the app. There's an information center. You can talk to me personally, whatever works for you. Let us know. We're here not to control you. We're here to love you, pray for you, encourage you, speak life into you, and see God do something amazing in your life as we walk this out together. Amen. Don't forget, invite somebody to church next week. It's a brand new year starting. This is a great time. People are looking naturally at what do I need to do different to have a better year than I had before. And I'm telling you, I don't care where you're at. In Jesus, the best is yet to come. So it's okay. Invite someone to church. Watch what God will do in their life. Be a part of the miracle in their life and see what God will do not only for them, through you, but for you also. Prayer partners will be down here following this service. Food pantry will be open in 15 minutes. Let me speak a blessing over your life. I want you to know we love you. If you didn't get a chance to tithe, if you came in late in our offerings, you can do that by technology, texting, and PayPal, Planning Center, and Cash App. So those are available. Here's the blessing that comes out of Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. God told Moses, have Aaron the high priest speak this over the people, and I will do it. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Have a great day. Prayer partners down here. Follow me.